I'd like to invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 17 through verse 21 through the end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want you to listen to the commission that you have been given by the Lord as his representatives here on earth. It says this, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. The old things are dead. They're gone." It says, "Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, but has committed to us the word of reconciliation." We're going to talk a little bit of what reconciliation means. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Of God in him." Let's pray and let's give this word to the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have made us righteous. Father, we thank you that you have sent Jesus to die for us, to shed his blood to make us a righteousness of God, to make us perfect before you. Father, we come before you today recognizing that you are 100% perfect. And no one can come into your presence with even the least speck of sin. We can't get rid of our sin, but Lord, you can wash us and clean us and make us right. And so, Father, we thank you that you gave that sacrifice, that you died in our place, so that we might become the righteousness of God, so that we can represent you here on earth, so that the kingdom of heaven can take place here on earth and take over this earth. And Lord, we pray that through this ministry, you would bring many people to you. Through our lives, you would bring many people to you, and the world would be changed because of you. In your name we pray, amen. I really feel that the Lord wants me to express to you not just how much he loves you. Man, he loves you more than anything you can imagine. The Lord loves you so much. But even more, he comes to show his love by bearing a gift. He comes with his hands full of gifts. And you know what he wants to do today? Is he wants to anoint you with power. He wants to give you power to make a difference, not just in your life, not just for yourself, but for everybody who is around you. Lots of times when we go into the world and we speak to our loved ones about Jesus, we encounter resistance. We encounter people who mock, who want to make fun. But you see, it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit when he convicts people of sin that brings them to the Lord. Amen? We are just being used as instruments. And in this passage, God is saying that we are appointed as ambassadors of God here on earth. Amen? We are appointed as ambassadors. It's very important that you understand your position. Because if you don't understand your position, you're not going to be effective in bringing the kingdom of God about. You need to understand the power that you have within you. And part of that position is as an ambassador or representative of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that when God first made the world, when he first made creation, he put Adam on this earth to be his first ambassador. And Adam's position, it was as a ruler. And he was designated an ambassador of heaven. Now you have to understand that an ambassador representative is only as viable and as legal as a relationship he has with his own government. Therefore, the Holy Spirit was the most important person who was on the face of the earth. Because Adam walked around constant communion with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enabled Adam to know the will of God, to know the mind of God, and to know his purposes. Without the Spirit of God in Adam, Adam had no idea how he was supposed to bring the kingdom of God into the earth. God made Adam and he told him to dominate the earth, to have dominion over the earth, to set up a colony of heaven here on earth. But that was only as viable as much as his relationship was to the King of Heaven. You know, as long as he walked with the Spirit, he was able to complete his task. But we all know the story. There came a day that Adam sinned, and he gave up his position, and he gave it over to Satan. And so because of sin entering into the world, sin entering into mankind, Adam lost that position. But I want you to notice, he lost much more than simply a kingdom. Yes, God had given him his kingdom. And when he gave it up to the enemy, he lost the kingdom. But much more important than that, he lost his communion with the Holy Spirit. And because he lost that communion with the Holy Spirit, he could no longer discern God's will. He could no longer discern his mind, his intent on the earth. And so he became a disqualified envoy of the government of heaven. He had come to earth to represent the government of God, and he became disqualified immediately. So you have to understand that when Jesus now came to the earth, thousands of years later, he came with a God-given mandate, and that mandate was to declare the coming, the restoration of God's kingdom and his government here on earth. When Jesus started preaching, the first thing he said, it says in Matthew 4:17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Luke says it like this. He said, I must preach the kingdom of God in all the other cities because for this purpose I have been sent. I want you to notice that Jesus was very clear about his purpose. He knew exactly the reason that God had put him on earth. And he said that the reason was so that he would declare the kingdom of God. He said that is the purpose to which he has been sent. These few statements that Jesus declared, he was declaring his mission, he was declaring his message, he was declaring his purpose, and it's clear that he was inviting, he was declaring, he was establishing in people everywhere the kingdom of heaven on this earth. Now, I want you to notice that this is in direct conflict with the focus that most people have on religious activities, on religious preoccupation, that a lot of people have of just doing the right thing in order to get into heaven. It's like we look at heaven like this place where we can escape the earth to get into heaven. And heaven's become kind of like this escape hatch from getting out of the earth to get into heaven. But you see, that is not what Jesus was preaching. Jesus never preached getting into heaven as some kind of escape hatch for getting off the earth. No, he basically said, heaven is here now. If you want to think about what most people think about heaven being up there somewhere, right? Because when we die, we leave the earth and we go to be with Christ, right? Can I just tell you that that is a temporary state? That is a temporary state. Because once the gospel has been preached to the earth and Jesus returns, everyone who is up there in heaven, guess where they're going to come? They're going to come back down here. And they're coming here to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And after that time is over, God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And guess where the saints and the church is going to live? Not in the heavens, but on the new earth. Amen? So we have been created to dominate and have dominion on the earth. When Jesus came here, he basically said, the kingdom of heaven is now invading the earth. Does everybody understand that? So we need to get away from this religious concept that heaven is out there somewhere, something unattainable that is very hard to get into. No. Jesus was proclaiming heaven to be here now. And the way that was happening was through the reintroduction of the Holy Spirit into mankind. That's why Jesus said, once you believe in him and you've given your life to him, he says, now you have the Holy Spirit. You have direct communication with the government of God, with the kingdom of heaven. Why? So that you can bring about here on the earth what God's will is in heaven. That's what Jesus taught us to pray. May your kingdom come, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God's intention is not to provide this escape hatch for us to leave earth, but rather to change the earth while all the saints are still in the earth. One of the very important and very significant verses that I find in the Bible is in the Beatitudes, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Why did Jesus say that they will inherit the earth if we're supposed to leave the earth? That doesn't make sense. If he said that we're supposed to inherit the earth, it's an eternal inheritance. And when the enemy gets done blowing up this planet and messing it up for all he's worth, God is still going to bring us to a new earth. And the Lord says very clearly in his word that the meek will inherit the earth. This earth. In Matthew 12, verse 28, the Pharisees were condemning Jesus and telling him that he was casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And Jesus was offended and he said, "I'm not casting out demons by the prince of demons. If I'm doing that, then who do you guys cast them out by?" He says, "But if I cast them out by the finger of God," then he says, If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He's saying the kingdom of heaven is come now into your life. His message, Jesus' message, was to help man regain the dominion over the earth by believing in Jesus, by receiving his Spirit. And once you receive the Spirit of God, consequently, it was supposed to restore the connection between heaven and earth. That's why the gospel is called the good news. When you preach the gospel of Jesus, that word gospel literally means good news. What is the good news? The good news is that you are now restored to God. You were not restored to God before. That was the bad news. The bad news was that you were separated from God. The bad news was that God was up there somewhere and you couldn't touch him. You couldn't be with him. You couldn't love him. And you couldn't sense anything he was saying to you because of our sins. The good news, the gospel, which means good news, we talk about evangelism. Evangel means the good news of the gospel, right? That the good news is that God has restored your heart. He has given you a new life. You are in touch with God. The mind of God is inside of you. I know a lot of you're looking around, you're thinking, "Well, I don't feel God. I don't know God. I don't sense God." Listen, the word of God cannot be broken. And it says that in you is the mind of Christ, somewhere inside of you, underneath everything that maybe you don't understand that's messed up about yourself. Jesus is residing. His mind is inside of you, and you have power to change this earth. You have power to make a difference in this earth. Hallelujah. So you see, Jesus came to earth to announce the arrival of this kingdom of heaven. He came to establish it in people's hearts. And he even told the people, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you. It's not out there somewhere. It's within you." Luke 22, 29, we looked at this verse last week. Jesus tells his disciples this. He says, "I confer upon you," his disciples, he says, "I confer upon you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me." Did you know that this is the kind of language that people use when they appoint ambassadors or appoint government positions? Say, "I confer upon you the responsibility of representing this government in foreign lands." This is the kind of language. You see, it's legal language that's being used right here. And he's basically, Jesus is appointing his disciples as ambassadors of a governmental position on this earth. I want you to, really, guys, we need to understand this is not a religious delegation. This designation, this is not a religious designation by God to his disciples. Jesus was not giving them a religious title or appointing them as priests. He was saying, there is a real government of which I am king, and I am appointing you as representatives of that government here on earth. Meaning that every word that you say is as if Jesus Christ himself was saying it. That's what an ambassador does. If an ambassador goes from one country to another, and he has good relationship with the government back in his country, then when he speaks to the president of the foreign country, to that president, it is the same thing as if the king or the president of the country he came from was speaking. The words that come out of the ambassador's mouth are the same intents, wills, and purposes of the government that he's representing. So you have to understand, when Jesus says, I have appointed all of you to be my ambassadors, he is saying, you are to speak with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, if you are an ambassador of Jesus, because it says here in verse 18 and 19, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He has given us a ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Okay, if you are an ambassador, you need to know very clearly what an ambassador does. What is the characteristics of an ambassador? What is he saying here? You see, we've been given a message. We've been given a ministry. It says of reconciliation. Reconciling mankind with God. What does that mean? You see, a reconciler is a peacemaker between two opposing sides. Okay? If you're reconciling two people to themselves, it means that they don't see eye to eye. There are differences between them. And you come as a reconciliator, and you make peace between them. Jesus is saying, he's given you the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling God to man. Now you see, the difference between God and man, where we don't see eye to eye, is where we say yes to sin, and God says that's evil. And the Bible makes it clear that every person on the face of this earth has sinned. And we all fall short of God's glory. And because we've sinned, the wages of our sin is that we have to die. But God sent Jesus in order to bring that ministry of reconciliation, so now we can be made right with God. This is a gospel message. And you, as ambassador of Christ, are carrying this message around inside of you everywhere you go. It is up to you how much you're willing to open up your mouth and speak the message. Okay, communicate the message. Okay, it's very important. You see, since we're reconcilers, we're ambassadors. And if we're ambassadors, it means that we're God's holy representatives on earth who have a divine, you have a divine connection to the King through his Holy Spirit. Now, an ambassador in a foreign nation, they're responsible for reconciling differences between two nations. And they're always looking out for the interests of the nation that they represent. So I want you to understand, God chose to communicate his message here on the earth not through religious people. He didn't appoint a bunch of priests. He appointed personal representatives, and the strategy was to deploy them as ambassadors throughout all the earth. And if you look at Jesus' disciples, they literally went all over the place. Matthew was a missionary down in Egypt and Ethiopia. He died in Egypt. He was martyred in Egypt. Thomas went all the way over to India. He was martyred in India. Peter was martyred in Rome, crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified the way that Jesus was crucified. Paul was martyred in Rome. Paul went all the way over to Spain. And they went all over the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they said, if you believe in Jesus, that's what we're supposed to do as well. You see, a definition of an ambassador is a political appointee. You have been given a political position, not a religious one. You've been given a political position, and it is your job to represent and to speak for your home government before the rulers of this world. You are to open up your mouth and speak the message of Jesus Christ before all the rulers of this world. And in the eyes of the rulers of this world, you have to understand that the ambassador is the word of the government that he or she represents. So in Matthew 18:18, Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loosen on earth is loosened in heaven. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, your word is as good as the government of heaven as if they were saying it. If you see somebody who's sick, you declare freedom, healing over them. It's as if the government of heaven was saying it. You see somebody who's in chains, who doesn't know the truth of God, you declare to them the gospel of God. It is just as if Jesus Christ was right there saying it to them, because you are a representative of Jesus Christ. Does everyone understand that? Okay. This is very important. See, because Jesus wants to anoint you today with power. This is not about you coming to church and listening to somebody preach. This is about you leaving this place, being a different person, walking around in power, standing up for God, not caring about what people are going to say, what's going to happen to you, because you know who's got your back. All right? And it's not you. It's not your boss. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So a good ambassador never speaks his or own personal opinion either. Our opinion doesn't count. It's only the official policies of our government that's appointed to us. That's the only thing that counts. And as representatives of heaven, we represent our Father here on this earth. As far as anybody else is concerned, your word is God's word as long as you remain bound to the constitution of your country. Okay, your country is the kingdom of heaven. And this is the constitution. You understand? This is the constitution. You need to know what's written in the Constitution. Because if you don't know what's written in your Constitution, you're not going to be able to represent your government very well. You need to know what's in this book. You need to know what's in the holy written language that God has sent you specifically to empower you so that you can be a representative of His here in this earth. Now you see, if you're to be effective, it's important that you understand what it is that you're talking about. You can't just go out and start opening up your mouth and just saying things. It can't be your own opinion. It has to be what comes out of the Word of God. Now, I want to talk about the characteristics of an ambassador, because it's important that you understand this, because this is what you've been given. Number one, an ambassador is somebody who embodies the state which sent them. Inside of you is the kingdom of God. You're the embodiment of the kingdom of God. And when you come and you pray for somebody, the kingdom of God is touching them, whether they realize it or not. Whether they understand that they're being blessed or not, they're being blessed because you opened your mouth and you prayed for them. Because inside of you, you are the embodiment of the state which you represent. Number two, an ambassador is also accurately represent the state or the kingdom from which they come. You have to accurately represent what Jesus said. You have to know what Jesus said in order to represent it. Number three, an ambassador is committed solely to the state's interests, not their own interest. Absolutely giving over to what Jesus wants in our life, not what we want in our life. Every cent we spend, whether it's even buying groceries at the supermarket, it's being given because we are representing the government and we're bringing glory to Jesus. Everything we have belongs to Him. Okay. Number four, an ambassador is never to become a citizen of the state to which he or she is assigned. Let me make this clear.
Paul talked about the fact that he was a citizen of Rome. But the only time he ever used that was so that he could further the kingdom of God. Because Jesus came to him and said, you are supposed to go before Caesar and represent me in front of Caesar. And so Paul said, okay, well, in that case, I am going to declare my Roman citizenship. And it was because he declared his Roman citizenship that he appeared before Caesar. But you need to understand something. Paul never saw himself really as a Roman citizen. Even though physically he was born a Roman, he said he was born a Roman, he never saw himself as a Roman. He always understood that he was a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. When you're an ambassador to a certain state, to a place, here we're an ambassador from heaven to earth, we are not to become one of the earthlings. We are not to become one of them. We are separate from the earth, from the ones who are called that have not been redeemed. We are separate. God has called us out of the earth. And we are not to become a citizen of one another. So even you may be a citizen of the United States. You may have your citizenship in Paraguay or in Colombia or whatever country you come from. But in Christ, you only have one citizenship. And that's a citizenship of heaven. It's not manifest with a passport. It's not manifest with a driver's license. It's manifest with the word of God and the image of God, which is stamped upon your heart. Amen? Okay, number five. An ambassador, he always is going to have access to all his nation's wealth for any given assignment. In other words, whatever Jesus sends you to do, he's going to give you all the resources for you to be able to do it. If you are working in the kingdom of God, you will never have lack of anything. You will never have want. The only reason that people who are Christians start to have want in their life is when they start to disobey, when they start to not do what God has asked them to do. They're not living as ambassadors. All right? But if we're being faithful to the calling that God has upon our heart, if we're being faithful to what he's asked us to do, God opens up all the resources of heaven. And believe me, he has a lot bigger bank account than what you do. That's why we don't need anybody's money. None of us here needs anybody's money. All we need is God. That's all we need. God will give you everything that you need to get the job done. All the resources of heaven are available to you to get the job done. Just get into Christ's mandate. Get into the Great Commission, which we were talking about here, right? Number six, an ambassador never is to speak his personal position on any issue. But he only represents a nation's official position. So in other words, if an ambassador from the United States, let's say, goes to Venezuela, where my wife is from, right? That ambassador has no right to go up to what used to be Chavez. He's not Chavez. I forget the name of the president. Maduro. He has no right to go up and say, well, you know what? I think that it would be better for you to do A, B, and C. You see, because what the ambassador thinks really doesn't make a difference. He can only go up to Maduro and say, this is what the government of the United States of America has expressly told me to communicate to you. He can never talk about his own personal preferences. So you need to understand that whenever you're speaking to somebody about the gospel, you don't have the luxury just to tell them what you think or what your personal opinion is. You can only speak what God has told you to speak. One of the reasons we don't preach in power and we don't speak in power because we get out of the Word of God and start to spur our own opinions. And when you start to talk about your own opinions, you are not representing the government of heaven anymore. I mean, I've heard Christians get so uncomfortable that when they know somebody is in sin, they say, oh, well, you know, that's all right. God understands your weakness. We say in Spanish, el Señor entiende tu debilidad. No, he doesn't. That's your opinion. And when you said that, you just disqualified yourself as ambassador because you're not representing the kingdom of God. So you see, everything that we say has to be a representation of what the government of heaven would say. We have to speak what the word of God says. And if the word says no to something, we have to expressly say it's no. If it says yes to something, we have to expressly say it's yes. Okay. Number 7 and last one. The ambassador, his goal should always be to influence a foreign territory for his kingdom's government. He always expects that foreign territory that they're going into, that country that they're going to speak to, is going to somehow bring a benefit to the government that they represent. They're always expecting that there's going to be some kind of influence and some kind of payback to the government that they represent. So if we're ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, we always are to influence this territory, New York City, for the kingdom's government, for the kingdom of heaven, constantly. Everybody you speak to, everybody we come into contact with, we should be extending the kingdom's government into their lives. Now, you see, Jesus exemplified all these different characteristics in very big ways. In fact, he is our chief ambassador. You could think of it like this. Jesus is actually the Secretary of State. Okay, you know, Hillary Clinton is the Secretary of State. Obama can't get around to every single one of the nations that the United States has to represent. So who goes? Hillary goes, right? The moment that she shows up, she is ahead of all the ambassadors. She is like the chief ambassador of all the ambassadors. That's who Jesus is. And Jesus represents very accurately what the kingdom of God wants. In fact, when he was on earth, he never messed it up, not even once. You see, so we are the kingdom's ambassadors, and we're sent to represent our government's mind, our government's will, our government's purposes, and our government's intent on earth. We have a charge to speak what our government speaks, not our own personal view, not our own personal opinion. Whenever you're asked to comment on any issue, you as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you are obligated to speak your government's position. You are obligated to speak your government's constitution. You are obligated. You cannot cut corners on this one. When somebody asks you, what is the will of God? You need to know what the will of God is here. And you need to speak with the Spirit, and you need to speak with conviction. And if you don't have the Spirit and you don't have the conviction today, God is going to anoint you before the end of this service with Spirit and conviction. Amen? All you need to do is want it. That's all you need. God is going to give you power here today. I want to ask you guys something. How many of you are aware that Jesus Christ is returning to this earth in his physical body? How many people are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, his second coming? Okay, you see, there's a lot of skepticism about this. I have a very dear friend of mine who's a pastor of 5,000 member church, who believes that the millennium of Jesus is just, his position is amillennial. He believes it's just, when the Bible talks about it, it's just symbolic. It's not really going to happen. There is so much confusion around the second return, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus hasn't returned yet. Okay, but if he hasn't returned, it's because our commission to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all the world's nations, it hasn't been fulfilled. Jesus was very clear in Matthew 24:14. He said the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached to all the nations. Once it's been preached to everybody, to all the nations, then Jesus can return. So don't get confused with people that say, oh, well, Jesus can just return anytime tomorrow. He's not going to return tomorrow. He made it very clear in the Constitution, he is not going to return until the gospel has been preached to all the world. Once the gospel has been preached, then he can return. Okay? It's very clear. So the message of the kingdom, you see, Jesus came and he said, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what we're supposed to be preaching. I want you to understand this phrase that Jesus said. When Jesus preached the kingdom, it's a way we're supposed to preach the kingdom. Jesus said, repent. Turn around, do a 180. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is here now. He said, you better get ready. You better put your house in order. Because the Spirit is coming, and you don't know what's going to happen when he shows up. That, it's like as if the doctor came and told you, you better get your house in order. You only have 6 months to live. Right? You better get your house in order because something's going to happen that's going to radically change your life. That's what Jesus was preaching. So he said, repent. He said, you're going one direction, turn around, go in the opposite direction. You've been going away from God. Start to seek God with all your heart because the kingdom of heaven is coming into your life. The power of the kingdom. It's not a question of talking. It's not a question of speaking. It's a question of power. It's a question of when you pray for somebody, something happens. When you put your hands on somebody, they are changed. Their whole life is different because of the fact that you prayed for them. Do you understand that? That's what it means for you to be a kingdom ambassador. And Jesus made it very clear at the very end of the book, Revelation chapter 22. He said, surely I am coming quickly. Listen, a lot of people say, hey, listen, it's been 2,000 years. He still hasn't returned. Listen, if Jesus hasn't returned yet, it's not because he is short on his promises. It's because of the fact that we have not been faithful in proclaiming the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you something. The church loves to be comfortable. We love comfort. We don't like to get in uncomfortable places. And because we have put comfort before the kingdom, the Lord still hasn't returned. Because there are thousands, millions, and billions of people who still don't know the gospel. Oh, maybe they've heard of Jesus, but they don't know the gospel. They know a false Jesus. They know a Jesus that's not revealed in the gospel. And because of that, they have no chance of ever coming into the kingdom of God. You understand? If you want people to come into the kingdom of God, they have to hear the gospel. It is not a condition. It has to be preached. You see, the big problem is that there's total confusion in the church regarding these things. There's total confusion in the church regarding Christ's second coming, and yet that is why we're preaching. The reason we're preaching is because we want to see Jesus come. It is vital that this message gets preached. And as ambassadors, our commission is to proclaim Christ's second coming and warn people about the judgment that's coming. You see, there's a lot of confusion and misinformation about this. We have a responsibility to be well-informed and well-based on the Word of God. We've got to avoid at all costs the speculations and interpretations of a lot of teachers that are out there. There are many legitimate teachers out there that are preaching about the kingdom of God. But there are a lot of teachers that are preaching stuff. They don't know enough about the Bible to be preaching what they're preaching. They have studied the Word of God just enough to be scary. They've studied the Word of God just enough to be dangerous. And there are all kinds of theories out there on Christ's second coming. When you read Matthew chapter 24, it's only going to happen one way. There's not two ways. There's not three ways. There's only one way that Christ is going to return. And he even said that although we don't know the time, we don't know the hour, we are the ones who dictate the general timing when Christ is going to return according to how much we preach the gospel. I want to read it for you. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples come to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be. What will be the sign of your coming? Talking about the second coming. And of the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. All these things are going to happen first. He says, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. There are a lot of false Christs out there. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet come. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, there will be pestilences, there will be earthquakes in various places. All these things are just the beginning of the sorrows. People say, well, look at all the World War I and World War II and the atomic bombs and all the humanity that was just butchered. Jesus says, you know what? When all that stuff happens, it's just the beginning. The end hasn't come. It says, then, because of your message, because you're an ambassador, it says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation, they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, and they will even betray one another, and they will hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up, and they will deceive many. And because of the lawlessness that will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But the people, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And then look what it says. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, all the ethnic groups. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see, and it keeps on going, but basically it's saying this. Before Jesus returns, this gospel will be preached to every single nation. And the more that this gospel is preached, the bigger the divide. There are people that will be set against it and people that will be set for it. And every person to whom the gospel will be preached will have to decide on which side they're going to stand. On the side of Christ or the side against Christ. See, because when Jesus returns, he is coming with judgment. He is coming to judge the world. And every single person who has rejected him, it says he will separate them like the sheep and the goats. And it is our duty, it is our obligation to preach as ambassadors the position of our government, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a position. So we have to understand that the specific hour, we don't know exactly when Jesus is going to return. That's in God's hands. But the general timing of the thing is in the church's hands. Generally speaking, the church as a whole, we've fallen short of the Great Commission. I mean, all we have to do is look around and see. Look at the city. Look at New York. How many Muslims are out there? How many Hindus? How many Shintoists? Scientologists? Animists? Atheists? All the kinds of ists. All looking around for the Word of God. All looking around to have this relationship with God. And it's all because what happens? The church is afraid to stand up and preach. We're not preaching. We're not talking. You see, Jesus said that the harvest was ready. And when he said that the harvest was ready, he meant it's plentiful. It's ready. He said to his disciples, he said, the harvest is truly plentiful. But he said, but the laborers are few. There are not enough real Christians who are standing up and preaching the gospel. And because there are such few Christians laboring for the kingdom of God, they're not coming into the kingdom. They're not coming into the kingdom. So Jesus is basically saying, he's saying, look, the world is filled with searching people, yearning for God. They're stumbling in the darkness. They're ripe for the picking. Whether they realize it or not, every single person wants to get picked. You're probably preaching to somebody in your family. You're probably preaching to somebody at your job or in your work who doesn't know Jesus. And it seems like they're resistant. They don't want to know. But you know what? They want to be picked. They want to be picked by God. Whether they recognize it or not, they want to be picked. There's a desire inside of them to know God that needs to be met, that can only be met through Jesus. Okay? And so it's very important that we understand that everyone who wants to know life, everyone who wants to have meaning and purpose to their life, can only find that through Jesus Christ. We have to tell them that they have a heavenly Father who loves them, who gave Jesus for them so that they could be redeemed and come into his kingdom. We don't have to ripen a Buddhist. We don't have to ripen a Muslim. a lot of times we talk about the fact that, oh man, you know, before a Muslim is going to come to the Lord, you need to make a friend with him. You have to befriend him for 7 years. And then when the timing is right, you can preach to them the gospel. Listen, you don't have to ripen them. They're already ripe. Jesus said that they are ripe. They've been ripe for 2,000 years. You can't make them any riper than they're already ripe. They're looking for the kingdom of God, whether they recognize it or not, they're looking. I love this article here by Mike Shipman. I gave it out to all the people who are taking my Muslim awareness class. But this man is a missionary in a country that prohibits people to speak the gospel. And the problem is that many missionaries, when they go to countries like this, because they're afraid of either being put in jail or getting kicked out of the country or not having their visas renewed, whatever it is, they kind of don't say anything very much. They kind of just do it under the table, you know, kind of. But they don't get out there and, like, they try to make sure whether somebody's going to preach or not. This guy, he finally said, you know what, forget it. I don't care what people say. I don't care what's going to happen to me. I'm just going to preach the gospel to every single Muslim that comes in my face. And he just started telling every single person, I don't know if it was Saudi Arabia or Yemen, he just started telling everybody about the gospel. And some people rejected it, some people kicked him out of their house. But in the time of like a few years, 5,000 Muslims came to the Lord. 5,000 Muslims, because he did not care about what other people were going to say. See, we need to get serious about our commission with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote this article. He even gives the exact steps, 1 through 5, how he shares the gospel. Does somebody want it? If you want it, come get it. Okay. Okay. She was the first one, so. All right. I even highlighted it there. If you want the article, I can give it to you. But it's a great way to communicate to unreached people groups about how they can hear the gospel of Jesus. This is specifically, I mean, listen, everybody, I don't care how hard your friend may seem. I don't care how difficult he may seem and resistant to the gospel. He wants Jesus. She wants Jesus. Whether they forget about the words that come out of their mouth. Jesus is the only answer to people's issues. Amen? So you see, I believe that a lot of Christians, just in conclusion, you see, we just don't value the Holy Spirit enough. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of sin. And specifically, he said the sin of unbelief. Not all the sins of sexual immorality and everything that's going on. Yes, that's wrong too. But you see, the biggest sin is the sin of unbelief. Because you don't believe in Jesus, you refuse to believe who he said he was in his gospel. Because you refuse to believe that, then he cannot give you the power for you to overcome all the other sins in your life. And so now you're bound to all kinds of sins. But if you believe in Jesus, he will transform your life so you don't even need to sin anymore. So it says he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, not of their own righteousness, of the fact that Jesus came and he was 100% righteous. He was 100% sinless. But the world is rejecting Jesus, so Jesus said, I have to return to the Father. You know, you present Jesus to somebody, they are seeing a 100% sinless, perfect man that is giving them the opportunity to also become sinless. And when they reject him, they're rejecting the righteousness. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world of righteousness. And thirdly, he convicts the world of judgment, because everyone is a slave to sin, and Satan is the head of all that sin. But Jesus already judged Satan on the cross. I want you to understand this. Satan has already lost the war. He has already been judged by Christ. And when Jesus comes a second time, he is going to execute the punishment on him which he deserves. You have to understand. That's why Peter says, you are to hasten the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you hasten it? You hasten it by preaching the gospel. The more you tell people about Jesus, the quicker Jesus is going to come and Satan will be done with. He's already been judged. He's already lost. All we need to do is execute the sentence. That's all that's left. And it's up to us to bring that sentence into reality. Does everybody understand that? Amen? So you see, a lot of Christians, we don't value these things. We don't value the fact that we have this touch, this communication with God's mind, with His will, and with His heart. And we can make such a difference in our world. Many people come to church. They give their lives to Jesus. They're saved. Why? Because they don't want to go to hell. That's where it starts and that's where it ends. God has so much more for you than just to give you a certificate of fire insurance. Okay, He's not giving you, this book wasn't written to give you a fire insurance from hell. This book was given to you to make you a powerful man and a woman of God. Amen? See, the kingdom of God is about power. It's not about religious routines. See, why do you think people were attracted to Jesus? Everywhere he went, everything he did, people were constantly around him. Why? Because he spoke power. And everyone came to Jesus, whether they're rich, they were poor, whether they were homeless or billionaires, if they were sick or they were healthy, it didn't matter. Because they felt powerless in their own circumstances, and they looked at Jesus and they said, He's got the answer. And each one of them, in his or own way, was looking for that kingdom, for the kingdom of heaven. They wanted to get into it. They were pressing to get in. See, people aren't looking for a religion. We really need to understand this. Nobody on the face of this earth is really looking for a religion. Nobody is looking for the religion of Christianity. Nobody is looking for the religion of Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism or anything like that. They're looking for reality with God. The reality of the kingdom of heaven. They're looking for power. They're looking for authority. They're looking for a purpose to their lives. And Jesus is the one who gives that. He's the one who gives that. This is the dominion kingdom which was lost to Adam. And so Jesus comes and he says, listen, the harvest is ready. There are thousands of people out there. They're all pressing to get in. We just need to talk. We just need to open our mouth and speak a little bit. That's all we need. You see, you have to understand that especially when it comes to somebody who's never heard the gospel before, you have to expect that because all the lies that they have been told about Jesus, they are going to be resistant to you at the beginning. Ever since they've been kids, they've been told lies about who Jesus is. That is not in Jesus' gospel. How are they just going to come around on the first day and say, oh yes, I just believe everything you say? Listen, you keep on preaching with conviction. They will come to the Lord. They will come to the Lord. Do not give up. Do not give up. You think that nothing is happening inside of their heart. Their heart crumbles every single time you mention the name of Jesus. Every time. So the invitation today, I believe that the Lord is just asking us to be faithful. Who here is willing to be faithful? Who here? Because Jesus is saying, the more that you talk to people about my kingdom, the more that you bring my kingdom into this earth as a heavenly ambassador, who you are, you bring my return that much closer to earth. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying every time you speak, every time you open your mouth and you talk about Jesus, you are bringing Jesus closer in the flesh to come to this earth. Amen? Amen? So see, God is looking for people who are going to be faithful. Who's going to be faithful? Are you going to preach the gospel? Will you say, look, Lord, I will not compromise the gospel. I am not going to be ashamed of the gospel. I believe it's the power of God for the salvation of every man that I speak to. Do you believe that? I believe that God wants to anoint you today with a holy anointing, with power. This Wednesday is a night of power for every Muslim who's been celebrating Ramadan. I'm going to tell you, power is found in Jesus. And I want each one of us, as much as you can, you find somebody that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just pray for them. Even if you can't pray for them directly, you say, I'm going to go home and pray for you. Pray for them on Wednesday night, because on Wednesday night, they're going to be looking. They're going to be expecting something to happen. And I'm going to tell you, when people get expectant with God, that's when God comes and visits them. Listen, at the very least you can do is take a Bible, a New Testament. We have them right up there. You can take them. And just give it to somebody. Give it to somebody. They try to read the Quran all at in one night that evening. How great would it be if they would read the gospel all in one night and be ministered to by the Holy Spirit and brought into the kingdom of heaven? Amen? I want to really encourage you. I want to encourage you. And I believe that the Lord is putting specific individuals on your heart right now. I know that God is, you know somebody that needs to be spoken to. And the Lord is telling you right now, I want to give you a gift, power for that individual. All right? So I want you to stand up, because this is a time God is going to, he's going to anoint, he's going to douse you with power right now. If you want it, be expectant to receive it. Be expectant to receive it. You can only get as much as you are expecting to receive. You cannot get more than what you're willing to take. God will not give you more. He will not force food. God doesn't force feed anybody. He only gives you what you're saying. When you say, give me more, he will give you more. Okay, if you're here today and God is speaking to you about a person, an individual, God wants to give you power for that person. He wants to give you authority to speak power of God into their life. Okay, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want you just stretch out your hands to God. And I want you just like to hold this person in your hands right now. And I want you to tell the Lord, Lord, it's not about what I do. It's not about even what I say. It's not about me knowing all the methods and all the steps. But I know that your Holy Spirit will give me grace, will give me power. Help me to be brave. Help me to stand up for your cause, for the cause of your kingdom, and to introduce the kingdom of heaven into these people's lives. If there's somebody that you have on your heart right now, I want you to come up here to the front. If you have a specific individual on your heart right now, I want you to come up to the front. Just come up here before the Lord and give this person over to the Lord. Give him to the Lord. Say, Lord, I need your power. I need your anointing to preach in this person's life. I need to see you work through me. I cannot speak to them on my own. These people are so hard sometimes, but Lord, you are the one. You are the one who gives me power. You are the one who gives me strength. God wants to radically change your life. He wants to make you a powerhouse, not a religious priest on this earth. He doesn't want you just to be a Jesus freak. He wants you to become a powerhouse for the kingdom of God. One who brings the kingdom of God into people's lives. So I want you to come up to the front and give this person to the Lord. Introduce him to the Lord. And just say, Lord, I present to you this person and say his name. I present to you Muhammad. I present to you Salim. I present to you my wife, my son, my daughter, my neighbor. And I present to you this person. And Father, I ask that you would anoint me with power right now. Lord, that when I pray, that they would see the kingdom of God come into their life. They would see it manifest inside of them. They would see it take over their heart. And they would not even be able to deny you. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every minister and ambassador of yours who's standing up here right now. Father, anointing from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. When they walk into a room, that the presence of God, the glory of God would go into that room. That the room would be filled with the manifestation of God. I bind every single demon of hell. I bind every single devil of hell. And every plan of the enemy, we throw you into confusion right now. You will not stand against the kingdom of God. You will be trodden under your feet. The horse and the rider of Jesus Christ will tread each and every opposition under their feet. Lord, we throw every single plan of the enemy into confusion before your throne. As ambassadors of the kingdom, we bind every machination of the evil one. I bind every single machination of the evil one against to try to keep these people's lives from coming into the kingdom. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we kick out every lie. Lord, we expose it right now. Every lie of the enemy. We declare, we expose the enemy as a father of lies. And the truth is in Jesus. Lord, we loosen the truth of Jesus Christ into every single person's mouth, into every single person's life, into every single person's heart right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, this night, this week, Lord, as Ramadan is coming to a close, for every Muslim that is prayed for, may they encounter angels. As they sleep, may they see Jesus. Lord, I loosen Jesus Christ and the knowledge of the gospel into every single heart, every single mind that's being prayed for right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, even from this point on, Lord, we ask that you would prepare it. In your name we pray. We're going to be praying here, and I just want the next 5 minutes or so, everybody with your hands outstretched. This is a holy time. This is a holy time before the Lord. This is not a time for contention. This is not a time for you to say but or what if. This is a time for you to say, God, whatever you have to give for me, I am going to take it. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to run with it. This has nothing to do with giftings. It has nothing to do with your calling. Every single one of us, whatever gifting we have been called to be ambassadors. And God wants to use you to bring the kingdom of heaven into this earth. And so, Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for what you're about to do. And we loosen your kingdom in this place. In your name we pray. Hallelujah. Let's all just stay in an attitude of prayer. Let's all just, you know, if you're not up here in the front, then pray for the people that are up here. Because they need the power of God. They need the power of God in their life to preach with power and authority the kingdom of God. And we thank you for it, Jesus.